serve you. And I know everybody's busy, but we love and we enjoy spending time with you all at any time. So I just want all of you to know that. I missed you guys, and I missed all of you, and it's good to be back and to be here and to just be a part of this body, this family. We're so thankful. Let's go to the Lord in prayer as we just prepare our hearts now for His Word. Heavenly Father, what a blessing it is that we have Your Word. How powerful it is, Lord, and how through the power of Your Holy Spirit and how You use Your Word, You change our hearts and minds. You help us understand what You want us to know and how You want us to live and the things You want us to change. You bring conviction upon our hearts using Your Word, and we're so thankful for that, Lord. Father, I pray this morning that Your Spirit would have Your way in us. And Lord, You would change whatever needs to be changed. You would help us to be sensitive to Your Spirit's leading, Lord. Convict our hearts, Lord. Help us to understand what things need to be changed in order to mold us into the likeness of Christ, Lord. Use us. Use Your Spirit in us this morning and just bless us with Your presence. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to be in Luke chapter 10, 25 through 37, very familiar story. We've been praying about that one person that God wants you to reach out to. You had these forms that says, who's your one? And we continue to pray for them. And so we looked at Jesus and how He turned aside from the things that He was doing to focus on different, just one person. And He did this many times. And a couple weeks ago, we learned from Jesus' example, you know, when we find those people, what do? How do we respond to that? What does God want us to do to minister to those people? And a couple weeks ago, we learned from Jesus' example of how He ministered to people, how He spent time with those who were far from God. We first learned that in order to live as Jesus lived, we need to be fully devoted to following Jesus, fully devoted to following Him. From His example, we learned that we need to be available to spend time with those who are far from God. Jesus took time away from other things to spend time with those who are far from God, even when some people didn't like it. And then we also need to learn from His example and be merciful toward those as Jesus did. So the heart of missions is love. It's what fuels us to reach out to the world around us that is broken, that is falling apart, is full of chaos, disorder. It's what truly moves us to share the truth about life to those who have no hope. God's kingdom was established on His love for us. We see this in His desire to come Himself and lay down His life for us so that we may have life. We see this in His desire to save people from every nation, tribe, people, and language. And so in order for us to follow Jesus' example, to join Him in His mission to reach the world, we must have a heart of love. One of God's great, great attributes is love. And therefore, His children should be characterized by love. It's the fruit that is evident in those who have been born of God. When it comes to the world's idea of love, it's all about temporary feelings that come from our human nature. It's not the sacrificial, unconditional love that comes from God. Only those who follow Christ, only those who are God's children have access to this kind of love. The world knows nothing of this true love, and it's what set Jesus apart. It's what makes us so different from the rest of the world. Today we're going to look at a familiar story. It gives us a picture of this kind of love in action. If you turn with me to Luke chapter 10, 25 through 37, if you don't have a Bible, there's probably one there in front of you. We're going to learn that God's children are compassionate people. Start there in verse 25. And behold, a lawyer stood up to put Him to the test, saying, Teacher, what shall we do to inherit eternal life? And He said to him, What is written in the law? How do you read it? And he answered, You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself. And he said to him, You have answered correctly. Do this, and you will live. But he, desiring to justify himself, said to Jesus, And who is my neighbor? Jesus replied, A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among robbers, who stripped him and beat him and departed, leaving him half dead. Now by chance a priest was going down that road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. So likewise, a Levite, when he came to the place, he saw him and he passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, as he journeyed, came to where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion. He went to him, bound up his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. He set him on his own animal and brought him to an inn and took care of him. And the next day he took out 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper, saying, "Take care of him. Whatever more you spend, I will pay you when I come back." Which of these three do you think proved to be a neighbor to the man who fell among the robbers? And he said, "The one who showed him mercy." And Jesus said to him, "You go and do likewise." Now here we have this expert of the law waiting to test Jesus. He's waiting to debate certain issues. This was a common question. How do you inherit eternal life? It's a good question. But this time it was asked with the wrong motives. He wanted to trap or trick Jesus somehow. But of course, we're going to find out that the lawyer, he's the one who ends up checking his own motives. Jesus, as he often does, he answers a question with a question. How do I inherit eternal life? Jesus says, "What is written in the law?" Basically, what does the Bible say about this? And that Jesus was sending him back to the law, not because the law saves us, but because the law points out our need to be saved. The law is what God uses to convict us of our sin. And so the lawyer who understood the law, he answered correctly. He said, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself." And Jesus told him, "Yeah, you've answered correctly. Do this and you will live." But the lawyer, wanting to justify himself, asked Jesus another question. "Who is my neighbor?" He truly asked the wrong question. I mean, think about it. He should have said, "How can I do this? I'm not able to. I need your help, Jesus. To love you this, to love God this way and to love my neighbor, I just can't do it in my own strength." But instead, he tried to defend himself against what Jesus has said and turn the focus off of himself. So he asked, "Who's my neighbor?" Because it was, you know, if you think about it, if the lawyer, if it was the people that he knew around him, the people that he already loved or liked or was acquainted with, it would make it easier to justify his lifestyle. So who is our neighbor? Let's take a look at that answer that Jesus gives us. He again, shares a story to help us understand who our neighbor is. And here we have this man. He's traveling down the road from Jerusalem to Jericho. The road descends 3,000 feet in the distance of 17 miles. It's a steep, winding road with rocks and crevices, and the thieves would hide in these rocks, and they would take advantage of travelers. It was a dangerous, dangerous journey. And this man, he was traveling along, he was beaten, he was stripped, he was robbed. We don't really know if this man was Jewish, Gentile, or Samaritan. From the context here, it's possible he was Jewish because of the audience and how Jesus is speaking about this. But what we see here is, wow, here comes a priest. Here comes a priest, someone who is expected to love others. But the priest takes a look and he just keeps on walking. Wait a minute, here comes a Levite. This is a religious person. Of course, religious people will help other people. The Levite takes a look and he just keeps on walking. Now, I'm sure they all had good excuses. And the priest had been serving God in the temple all week, and the Levite had been busy living his religious lifestyle, doing religious things all week, and so they were in a hurry to get home. Perhaps they thought that the bandits were still close by and they were using this man as bait. Why take a chance? Anyway, it's not my fault this man was attacked. Plus, this road is busy. Someone else will come along. I don't even know this guy. Whatever the reasoning was, they just kept on walking. Now, here comes somebody else. Everyone else there listening to the story of Jesus would have said, "Oh no, it's a Samaritan. There's no hope for this guy." I mean, the Jewish people hated them because they were part Gentile, part Jewish. They built their own temple to worship at. They were exiled from the Jewish community. And they saw them as bad people. They would never say the good Samaritan. I guess there's no hope for this wounded man, but wait, look at this Samaritan. He stops from his journey, stops what he's doing, he has compassion on him. He goes to him, puts bandages on his wounds, sets him on his own animal, takes him to inn and takes care of him. And when he leaves the innkeeper 2 days' wage. You think about that. 2 days' wage. What's that like? $200 to $300? Maybe, or less. He gives him 2 days' wage. He says, "Any more you spend, I'll repay you when I return." Now, first from this story, who is our neighbor? Jesus wants us to know that our neighbor is anyone who needs our help. we don't have the luxury of discerning or choosing who we want our neighbors to be. This represents all peoples. The Samaritan, he didn't know this guy. He was most likely considered a Jew, maybe even his enemy, but he showed mercy and love on him. And so the answer to who is our neighbor includes all people. As a follower of Christ, we have the responsibility to show compassion toward all people, no matter where they're from, no matter what race they are, no matter what color they are, no matter what their background is. Because we are God's children, we have the responsibility to show compassion toward people. Really, there's no difference here between the priest and us. Because 1 Peter 2:9 states that we are part of God's royal priesthood. God has given us this role to play, is to intercede on behalf of those who are far from God. We are His messengers who proclaim His word. How would your heart respond in this situation? Maybe you've had a situation similar to this. Maybe you know it's not somebody beaten and stripped. But as you went through your busy day, you met somebody who was in need. How did you respond? How would you respond? Would you respond with compassion, or would we be like these Pharisees who judge the people? Colossians 3:12 calls God's children to be compassionate people. We should have the compassionate heart that Christ had for people. We see Him over and over having compassion for those who no one else cared about, going to people who no one else cared about, touching people who no one else would touch, loving people who no one else loved. God's children should be described as compassionate people. What kind of love do you have in your heart? Next, we see that God's children also love God unconditionally. Look there at verse 27. And he answered, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind." What did it mean to love God this way? Was this an important command? Jesus stated in Matthew 22:40 that on these two commands, to love God, love your neighbor, on these two commands depend all the law of the prophets. This is a very important command. In fact, it was part of the Shema, a statement of faith that was recited every day by every Orthodox Jew. The most important command was to love God first and foremost with all that you are. What did it mean to love God with all your heart, soul, strength, and mind? This covered every part of our being. This was a wholehearted devotion to God with every aspect of your being. And just think about that. It's not just a good feeling about God. This kind of love involved the heart, the mind, the will. This kind of love led to action on our part, just as it led to the action that Jesus took when He laid down His life for us. This kind of love is unconditional. It doesn't say one thing and do another. It doesn't put God to the test to prove His love. It doesn't pick and choose what words of God we desire to obey. It is unconditional love. In fact, the basis for our obedience to God is love. 1 John 5:3 states, "For this is the love of God." What is the love of God? He says that we keep His commandments. "For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments." To say that we love God is to respond to Him in obedience. God said David was a man after His own heart. Why? Because He said he would obey His will. He's a man after his own heart because he would obey His will. He would do all that He wanted him to do. This kind of love is found in those who follow Christ, only in those who follow Christ. You see, God is not asking us to do something that He has not already given us power to do. 1 John 4:8 states that anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. God's children love Him unconditionally. They have been given access to the God who is love. We have access to this kind of love. We can't love God this way in our own strength. We can't love our neighbor in our own strength. The love we need comes from God. How can we love Him this way? 1 John 4:19 states we love because He first loved us. We loved Him before because He first loved us. He gave it all up for us. He gave His life. He loved us even when we were in sin. He loved us enough to pour out His wrath on His own Son. He loved us unconditionally. And therefore, we should love Him in the same way. He didn't expect you to get yourself together, to be good, to accomplish certain things, to come to Him. He came to you in your sin. Some of us in the worst times of our life, He loves you unconditionally. He died so that you could live. We should love Him the same way. This means that we have to prioritize our lives correctly. And we know this. First, we acknowledge that God comes first, no matter what. Then our spouse. God first, then our spouse. Then our children, our family. And then everything else in our lives. Think about that for a second. Think about the priorities in your life. I want you just to contemplate. God first, no matter what. Then your spouse. Then your children. Then your family. Then everything else in your life. Are your priorities set up that way? Might be in your mind. Yes, I know that's the way. That's what I do. But does your actions show that? Does your actions reveal that is your priorities? That's the way it's set up in your life. See, when we put other things before God, it never works out well. Never works out well. If God is first in your life and you love Him unconditionally, and therefore you spend time with Him listening to His Word, obeying His Word, He's going to give you all you need in your other relationships, all you need in your work that He has given you. Just think about that. When that's your priority, that when God is at the first and foremost place of your life, that means when you're trying to make a decision on what to do this morning when you woke up, God was first. How is this going to affect my relationship? How is this going to affect my obedience to God? Whatever decision you're making. How is this going to affect my relationship with my spouse? How is this going to affect my children for their betterment, for me to be able to raise them up in God's ways? And then how does this affect me being a disciple maker, me sharing the gospel? And then this decision, how does it affect, finally, how does it affect my job? That's down here. Sometimes we get those things all mixed up and life is a mess. God wants to get our priorities straight. That's what it means to love Him first. Which brings us to the second command here He gave, which is to love your neighbor as yourself. God is the source of the love you need, to love Him this way, and then also to love your neighbor as yourself. God's children love their neighbors sacrificially. Look there, we're going to look back at 27 where He says there, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself. And then look there in 36 and 37 at the end of the story. Which of these three do you think proved to be a neighbor to the man who fell among the robbers? He said, the one who showed him mercy. And Jesus said to him, you go and do likewise. What kind of neighbor did the Samaritan prove to be? This man changed his plans. He took of his own time. He gave of his own money to a stranger. He showed mercy and love to a man he didn't even know. He showed him unmerited favor. He loved this man sacrificially. He cared for this man who really could have been a Jew, his enemy. The man was in great need and he came to rescue him, to show him sacrificial love. Isn't that what Jesus told us to do? Love your enemies. Pray for those who persecute you. Matthew 5, 40 through 44. Galatians 6, 9 and 10. He says, let us not grow weary in doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not give up. So then, as we have opportunity, let us do good to everyone, and especially those who are of the household of faith. God's children must love each other. First and foremost, we must love each other as children. We must love our brothers and sisters in Christ. 1 John 4:20 says, if anyone says, I love God, and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he who does not love his brother, whom he has seen, cannot love God, whom he has not seen. What kind of neighbor are we? Are we like the priest and Levite? Are we too busy for our neighbor, too quick to give excuses, or are we quick to show mercy and love them in a sacrificial way? The Samaritan really is a picture of Jesus, the greatest neighbor of all. He was hated by many. He was an outcast by the religious society, and yet he came to help all of us in our need for salvation. Because of the sinful nature we were born with, Every human being on this planet has a great need for salvation. Sin has brought brokenness upon this world. It has brought the wrath of a holy God. We live in brokenness without Christ. We look around us, the whole world lives in brokenness. I was just surrounded by millions, the whole population of Virginia in one city, surrounded by millions and millions of people who are broken in their sin, who are in bondage to their sin. But God in His love and mercy came Himself and He made a way. He took our punishment and sin on Himself and He died on that cross for you, for me, for every nation, tribe, people, language on this planet. He died. He was buried. He rose from the grave, therefore to defeat sin and defeat death, to live. He lives to offer all people forgiveness of sin, eternal life, if we believe and what He did in His death and resurrection, if we confess Him as Lord, meaning we turn away from our old life and we turn to Him and we surrender our lives to Him. He's in control now, not us any longer. He will forgive all your sin and give you eternal life. And just like the Samaritan, He says, hey, here's 2 days' wage. Anything else you need, I will pay when I return. Just like the Samaritan, Jesus will return to take us home. Reaching our community and the world begins with a change of heart. God works through us and our faith in Christ. He's the one who gives us this love. The Samaritan's love was revealed by his heart of compassion. Reaching people for Christ starts with love. If we don't have love, we don't have a desire to reach out to anyone. It's just about ourselves. Reaching people for Christ starts with love. If we don't have this love, we're not going to care about people. It doesn't matter who's dying in our community. It doesn't matter who's dying in D.C. or anywhere else in the world. It doesn't matter to us. It's out of this love that God gives us that we love Him and we obey Him and we seek the lost. If we don't have God's love in us, then we're just not going to care about other people. We'll be too focused on ourselves, our own desires, our own needs. We won't even see our neighbors. The priest was probably so busy, he just didn't even think to stop. The Levite lived a religious life. He didn't even think to stop. He just kept going. And we can be so busy in this world that we won't even think to turn our attention. But it's because of a lack of love. If we don't spend time with God and build that relationship with Him, then we're not going to be drawing from the source of love. We're not going to be in His Word and see His examples and see His commands about love. And we're not going to be drawing. We're going to be allowing the Spirit to take control of our bodies, our minds, our hearts, our soul. The fruit, the first fruit of the Spirit is what? Love. That's right, love. It comes from Him. But we have to spend time with Him. We have to build that relationship. Jesus sacrificed it all to reveal the greatest display of love the world has ever seen. And He has given us access to that unconditional love. How is your love for God? How is your love for those who are far from God? Where is our love for those hurting in the church? Paul said if he had faith to move mountains, he had faith to speak the language of angels, he had faith to have all knowledge, he said it was all worthless if he didn't have love. It's meaningless. Love and compassion motivated this Samaritan to help this man in need, to sacrificially serve him. If we truly love people and truly care about their lives, we will be a neighbor that shares the truth about Jesus. A neighbor that shows mercy in order to help save people's lives. There's no greater need that a person has than their spiritual need for forgiveness of sin. There is no greater need. You can help them physically. They can be healed physically, but they will still go to hell without Jesus, without the gospel, without the good news. There's no greater need than that. It is our love for God and people that compels us to go to our community, to pray for that one, to go to D.C., and Vermont, Alaska, Haiti, South India, all over this world. It is the love that God has given us for people that drives us to share the truth of the gospel with people, no matter what. We don't make excuses about that because we know these people need to hear this truth. Where is our love for God? Where is our love for our neighbors? If our heart is right, it will change our motivation for reaching the world with the gospel. Our hearts will overflow with love for others. Our hearts will overflow with mercy and compassion toward other people. Spend good time with your Heavenly Father this week. Allow Him to, and His Word to remind you of His love first. We love because He first loved us. So just practically, spend some good time with the Lord and be reminded. Any scripture you remember about His love, read about your salvation. Read about His faithfulness and His goodness to save you no matter what, to come to you in your sin. And be reminded of His love. And just let that sink in. Just meditate on His love for you. And then evaluate your heart. Maybe even this morning. Do I truly love God with all my heart, soul, strength, and mind? Because I look at the priorities in my life and He's not at the top. When I make decisions, He's not the first one that I seek. It's not based on how this is going to affect my relationship, my spouse, my children. Slow down. I know that's hard to do. But try. Just try to slow down just a little bit. Slow down enough to not just to spend time with God, but to see those around you who are hurting. Those around you that are broken. Maybe they're your brothers and sisters. And maybe it's somebody at your workplace, somebody in your neighborhood. Just slow down a little bit so that you won't pass by them like the Levite or the priest. So that you will see them and allow God's love to flow through you and have compassion on them. Let's respond to the Lord as the worship team comes. And let's ask Him to evaluate our hearts right now. How's your love for God? How's your love for your neighbor?